everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have my good friend Louise Baxel, a nurse midwife with me. Her and I connected a couple months ago. She loved the courses I've done. She's a very unique business-minded midwife. We joke that she's probably my twin on the other side with just the mindset and how we picture things and we function. We get along very well. So Louise and I were talking. She has an amazing fertility clinic, private practice, and I thought it'd be great to interview her and just tell a little bit about her business and how we can transform midwifery into this direction. So Louise, take it away.
Hi, thank you for having me, Leslie, and I'm really honored to be here. You know, my journey into, or my thoughts on midwifery, maybe are a little different, you're correct, of truly holding that being with a woman and having to reinvent, starting from being in a family of midwives, or those who are in that profession and caring profession and advocacy, to really holding it to how do you do so and you have a preemie yourself and knowing I still care for women, I'm their biggest advocate, and really believe in informed choice and really and truly going to the values and the heart of midwifery. My journey into fertility and here at Cosmos is a weird one, actually. Actually, more recently claiming midwifery and fertility. More so, I think, by universe choosing me and having the fortunate opportunity of needing to work at a fertility clinic and realizing, that unique thing that midwives can bring, both from balancing the psychology and the emotional health, and knowing that we help literally coach women through hard things, birth being one of them, but so many other phases of life, and a respect for what is biology and science and truth and what is your truth. And really and truly just creating that space to first listen and hold the story, and all of it, and then help to be an advocate and a navigator. So that is, I guess, the heart of my practice.
I think it's amazing because so many people think, well, infertility clinics, and I stressed yours is a fertility clinic, you're helping an underserved population and just a unique demographics with, once you get pregnant, having a successful, healthy pregnancy, not just now we got you pregnant, okay, let you go, move away. Like, your focus is more on now that you're pregnant, you've had a history of frequent miscarriages, you've had a history of preterm labor, you've had a history with your specific population of more risk factors, how can we improve those outcomes? So I think you're taking a very different approach that's so needed and so valuable with midwifery. How long have you had your practice, and like, how did you, because it's so unique, I'm sure you had challenges with the client base initially understanding the value.
Yeah, well, my practice started in 2017. And in terms as to the value, I have been fortunate to have worked mostly in more of a concierge direct care model. And even in infertility, that tends to be part of the standard because of what is covered, and then what is not covered oftentimes, of knowing that you're working outside of insurance, outside of insurances. So you're trying to get the best out of what insurance will cover, but some other things that more often than not, they might not cover, or they put limitations on it. And the value to patients is often, I think, most realized when they realize, even from the orientation, meaning the first time they meet me, that you're actually truly willing to give them time. And how much can you solve just by you, the patient, and nobody else in the room or the interaction? It's all about them. And truly, it's been through word of mouth. The part of now learning everything else about what you might think of as traditional business, from marketing and brand, all of those things are now coming after the fact. It has truly been an honor that one tells another, tells another, tells another. And that has been kept me really humble and just attuned to keeping it simple. Even as I learn and grow and the true business side or structures of it, thinking, how do I do this even better? But my heart is really one-to-one or one-to-group, a safe space let's hear it, let's get dirty, let's solve this, and knowing that we can, right? Where there's a will, a way, I guess you would say, or my orientation is in all things seek the positive. And then, you know, there's nothing like your own story that takes your passion or your calling sometimes to an entirely different place. So my pathhood in motherhood requiring actually the synergy of midwives and from perinatologists to reproductive endocrinologists to high specialization coming together to give me the gift of motherhood to live babies, and realizing here's the complexity of that and seeing what is the unique role that when we think something is even more complicated and maybe you're feeling, or as I have felt, you're the weird one or you're a walking complication, what is that softness or that light that is shown, particularly from a midwife, that no, you're a woman. There's nothing wrong with you. And women have these experiences. And actually, you know, no one may have told you this, but oh, and we know what to do about these experiences. And
I think it's amazing that you found a need, you personally went through it and you saw what was missing in the system. And you can relate on such a deep level to these families you're serving. And I always like to stress, you're not replacing their prenatal care. You're adding to it. You're a team. And do you tend to focus on more of the high risk patients, or do you get any walk of life that are kind of looking for that additional one-on-one support during their prenatal care?
I tend to, I think by word of mouth, who tends to seek me out, or both from colleagues referring or patients themselves who have referred other friends, or those who've had a more challenging time. So those who have had a previous loss, whether it be from a miscarriage or a stillbirth or a low birth weight or something like of that sort, or their journey has been a much longer or more torturous than they would have thought it should be. Or could be. So that tends to be whom I have a bit more of in my practice, or seems to find me most easily. So not by, again, I think very much so it is has been an acceptance action or a surrendering to a calling and thinking, how do I do this? And still the orientation of positivity, of bringing joy to it, meaning, yes, I've gone through hard things, and yet they have been my greatest gifting and my greatest teaching. And it's what gives you, I guess, your secret sauce or your special thing, and also sharing with them, you know, just as we do with any health challenge, that actually the gift is when we somewhat surrender to it and go, what's the lesson here? On the other side of that is often much better than we could have ever thought. So that's who the practice seems to serve. And then particularly then those as well who, because they've gone through that and they've already even started that why, and they're questioning, they are professionals and they're discerning, you know, they are already bosses in their own field, really and truly, and quite leaders and remarkable. And you're really just helping them to realize even this too, their fertility, birthing, and all of that, they get to reclaim it and have it. And that same intelligence gets to show up here too, in a different way, so that they can birth.
Give some their examples, family. Louise, of like services. I know you talked about just diving through medical records and having another set of eyes looking at it from a different angle, a bigger picture, emotional support. Could you kind of give an example of an, I hate to say average, but like if someone is coming to you, what your package looks like, what the services, what that initial consult discussion looks like, just so if someone is considering this type of practice, they're like, oh my gosh, we need something like this in our area. It would be great to go more detailed on how you structure that service.
I've actually tried to structure it based on the midwifery model, right? Where we bundle a service, right? If it is more than this number of visits, we kind of globally bill it. So I've done it through that methodology. And by partnering with the patient up front to kind of first get an assessment as to where they're at, the goal being not to give you more than you need, but actually what does it take to see it all the way through, right? This is when we're literally having babies, we see it all the way through to the end. And so just trying to think through, how do I have an offering that does that? So we have groups and packages of visits based on the complexity of what has been going on. So the first set with myself would be, one, I personally meet everybody coming to the practice one-on-one. Two, just get a sense of what has happened and be able to speak to you from all the nuances of insurances and blah, 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 blah. Two, then they secondary will usually have a longer appointment with me that's about 90 minutes at least after I've started to review some of what they've sent in and sitting together of really kind of how does this unfold? What's really important, key players and all these different things. With that, then my foundation always with small habits of our lifestyle. So what are we eating? How are we sleeping? Thinking all of those things. But what then if further any testing or support might be even more helpful, collaboration of care or different things, and really helping them to even oftentimes leverage or truly understand even more the why of what they've been doing. So for example, let's say they really have a hiccup. It's like, I'm going to an infertility clinic and there are a lot of questions. It feels like things are being done to them. And in truth, it creates a resistance as to why they're not completely following the protocol as laid out. But taking that extra time to explain, oh, this is what, you know, Dr. So-and-so is thinking and why he's doing this actually. And that they can understand, be brought along with the journey. All of a sudden it's like, and it finally worked. They were doing the same thing, but now there is an understanding with, and there's more of that synergy. So from there, usually then after then what tests we've decided on and different things like that, depending on then what that follow-up will look like. Sometimes it's in, you know, helping to point them to like a group program that if depending, we're community because women do better with community. I love like centering pregnancy and those kinds of things. And the same thing actually works with fertility. Just being around women who've had actually gone through the process, we can hold space for each other even better than one using that synergy. Or for some, it's, you know, periodic, you're getting back those labs and you're deciding we're going to check in on. And so you're just creating this space, whether it be 5 visits or 24 visits, whatever that is, or you're continuing to as well offer or support them with doing the ultrasonography to monitor them. So packages is what's usually decided on after that longer visit based on, okay, this is what I think is really going to get us there. And thankfully, most are pregnant, you know, I would say 6 months will usually have a really, so far we're batting in our clinic right now, 100%, but I don't really, you know.
Yeah,
really,
I'd love to see the statistics. I know you've been going for almost 4 years now, and just showing that direct impact, especially the medical community, when you want to collaborate or we're trying to get financial insurance reimbursement for these aspects of services. Exactly. I'd be very curious, like the trends of women that you've been taking care of and the massive impact. We need so much more preventative medicine in our healthcare system versus just trying to fix problems. I think it's amazing work what you're doing. I know you and I were just joking, like creating a hallmark name for this type of a mental shift in our U.S. healthcare system around not just getting them pregnant, but now keeping the best pregnancy. I mean, Ina May did it the best when she talked about the communities and long-term effects of not having healthy moms and babies, how it really it impacts. It's a ripple effect. And so what you're doing is just going to have a massive impact on the community. So thank you. Yeah. So how do you balance being a mom and a midwife? I know you and I talk about it often on the sidelines, and we've talked personally about like time management tips and different things, but what have you noticed the last couple months that's really just helped you or kind of shifted things in your life to help with that balance?
I think it has actually become more of a when delineation, I would say boundaries, if I was going to give a word for what has helped the most is learning even more the value of boundaries in all aspects of your life. So how can I literally as well, from my emotional needs to the time that you've set aside for here's work, and I'm focused 100% on you, my patient, or building the business or education. And then, no, this is my son's time. You know, we are going to tryouts and I'm 100% there. I'm not doing anything else.
Clear expectations with your clients of like, okay, what's urgent, what's non-urgent. These are the different ways to communicate with you. But also, yes. I think in today's world where so many people are working from home, like where you don't have an office to go to, you go to a basement, it gets even more muddied, that work-life mm-hmm. balance, because you don't have that driving transition. You don't have a physical place where they're not going to knock on the door and come down and say lunch is ready. Like it's a very mm-hmm. different paradigm shift. So I was curious, like with you having an office versus choosing home visits or doing virtual, how you decided that setup?
Yeah, I've always, you know, from the practice, always been able to do a lot of virtual care. And I, you know, from the outset has always been, well, the business has to be around my first job as mom. So how do I am constantly looking for and trying to develop what are systems and even things that you invest in that allow me to be a mom. So from even the phone type of service that I would choose, that I could have it and be able to respond to something and my assistant be able to know in real time and not have to go back, that it can happen in life with me, and continuously looking at that process. So I think that's, may have lost your question, I think, a bit in my...
No, it's just, it's about creating, I think as a business, you and I talked on the sidelines of even you're in the process of an SBA loan and getting a partner and just expanding from being a solo practitioner and running your own business to that leverage point where it's like a leap of faith trying to decide, okay, do I hire somebody? Do I look at someone buying into the practice? How do we do all this? And so I would love for you to brainstorm just some of the things going through your head, and it can help other people that I'm sure are in very similar positions.
Yeah. I think our sincerity with each other has really been realizing that it's a constant process of self-reflection of what's the easy, fun part. And then what is this is hard, annoying, lame, frustrating. What can make this even easier for myself growing, you know, the investment in yourself to grow yourself, to know, and to be honest, this is not my fun spot. I don't want this piece. So how do I strike that balance? And yet it is necessary. And which then makes you reach out beyond yourself of realizing no one operates in isolation. So who's done it better? I mean, that's how I even found you, right? Of like, I don't need to recreate everything in the world. No way. Who's done this? Who's gone before me? And to leverage and to just show up, you know, vulnerably and just authentically and go, I'm human, I have needs, you're human, you have needs. How do we put two heads together and try to solve for this so that it can be, you know, the goal being, how do I make this that it can be joyful, we can have fun, and we can have all these spectacular things, great outcome, wonderful, you know, service-oriented business, and mom and all of these other things that you are. How do you have all of these identities? You don't need to choose only one of them all, you know, all the time. What does that look like? So yes, to then think of, you know, right now for myself at an inflection point to go, okay, based on everything that's happening outside of my control from public health and everything else, and truly, how do I lean into, I have to be a mom and schooling and even more involved in this way. How do I make this even more sustainable? So to start to look at what's a sustainable way to grow and yet be intimate. How do I leverage that and do that smartly? So looking at loans or and what's the best way to go through that? Even changing your whole mindset. I'm the daughter of two accountants. So understanding what is a debt or non-debt, you know, when you've tried really hard most of your life to go, nope, I want to live within my means. No, no, no. And a very different kind of, you know, so to realize these are growth areas for me. And how do you surround yourself though around others as well though, who want to see you break through to that next level? So
yeah, it's very interesting to see. I think midwives in particular, you and I are more of the outlier midwives for sure. But my hope and my goal is we get more tools, we get more structures, we get more systems that midwives are empowered, that it is possible to have not just a small mom and pop home birth center practice. And we can create systems and looking at the benefits of expanding our resources and preventing burnout and being able to handle keeping up with this big ever-changing healthcare system. I mean, you've got to have a team, you've got to have systems in place unless you plan on being self-employed your entire life. But most midwives, their end game is, I want to be a luxury part of my practice. I want to choose to come and go and be part of it. And it's still going to run as a system and offer services, whether I take a 2-week vacation or I want a night off here and there. It's creating those teams. And it is hard because we don't go to school to be business owners. And it's a whole different schooling. It can be hard knocks in life, which I think is the not so fun hardware, but learning from other people like yourself and me and all these other great midwives that have done it before us. So that's why I appreciate you doing this interview with me. And I would love to see more of these fertility clinics, more of these injunction, even the midwives, part of the main healthcare system, they're budgeted 5-10 minutes for a prenatal visit. It's not that they can't physically be a full scope comprehensive midwife. So if they can team up with somebody like you, that someone can need that extra TLC, they can get an affordable combination, like how we're going to better. I think midwives sometimes, if we're not doing it all for them, we're not a good midwife. And I'm like, the system doesn't make it realistic when you're part of it to be that best midwife. Let's leverage these experts in our community.
Absolutely. I think that's actually one of my best joys actually is I'm very honored when, you know, a fellow midwife who is working more within the system and what are the limitations, and you're really able to help someone realize, no, all of this is really what midwifery is. And, you know, where they're able to, and it's such a warm, you're creating a safety net of realizing actually midwifery, again, beyond, it's not just about me. The bigger mission is there's this safe community for women, and you can have your babies, be healthy, birth them, be vital right after them too, and all of that. And we're holding that community for you. And we extend beyond, yep, so-and-so only has 7-10 minutes, and she warmly hands off where I've got an hour or more and you can text me more availably. And I warmly hand you back when it's that time. And she doesn't have to worry that I don't have enough time to answer all of those questions because I've got your back. You know, I'm going to follow that trend with what's going on with her progesterone and everything else. So we're going to keep it as healthy when we see that, no, birth is healthy. Pregnancy is a healthy state. Fertility is a healthy state. You know, breaking down all of those stereotypes like, oh, hell no. And through that, women, you know, helping women to really reach new heights. So that's absolutely actually one of my joys is to work collaboratively with the system, realizing, all right, how do we get the best of both worlds? So, and helping patients understand as well to monitor their expectations, like that if who you're seeing only has 7 minutes, how can we be strategic? Maybe we could write them an email ahead of time so that they can, you know, how do they make the most of that? And it feels like a win-win. The patient doesn't feel that they weren't heard or seen and defeated. And the midwife or whoever the care provider is doesn't feel as though this is an unreal task being given to me. And their heart is for helping and supporting. And the setup is, that's very wounding on both ends. Even the provider is wounded. They're human too, you know?
And I think it's that mindset of low risk, healthy. I mean, statistically speaking, 70-80% of women should be that, but very few women, if there's any little tiny diagnosis or history or anything, they're instantly taken off that low risk radar. And I think you're pushing the extremes of that paradigm shift of, even if they're a high risk client, they can have low risk aspects of their care. Like not everything, because they've got gestational diabetes on insulin, that every aspect of their care is now high risk. Like I think you're pushing that envelope of let's rethink, like one aspect of her care is high risk. She's got this to watch. Let's co-manage that. But as long as that part's being managed well, the other parts should be staying at lower risk category. And how do we treat her during that? So I think it's amazing what you're doing.
Absolutely. Or also even just to note too, though, most chronic diseases are what we think is high risk, that hypertension or that diabetes. What's the leading cause of that though? It's lifestyle and education. I go, what a pregnant, truly great opportunity when she will. And what if we could lay into a little bit more time? Not only do we shift it for that pregnancy, but the entire house and what she's eating and everything else and the thinking.
Most of them are cooking their food for their family. So if we could do more cooking education and more, even just the creative things, the time management of like, okay, if you don't have time to make a meal every night, let's get creative and maybe you make it on Sunday and you package it for the next week. Like, I think that's what a lot of women need is they want to be healthy. They want to be successful with their pregnancies, but sometimes having someone like you on their team to creatively help them with their unique situation. How do we make you successful?
Exactly. How do you do that strategic piece? And just knowing, I go, even in preeclampsia or whatever, that foundation of their sleep and their eating and all of these things is even more important. It's even more important when we've got to be cautious about what meds we do and all of these things, and we're needing the monitoring. So how do you help that go? And, you know, that's absolutely then, I wouldn't say to realize you can have really great outcomes with that too, and the role of midwife. So
the last question I ask most people is, what's your favorite part of running a business, Louise? Like, what do you, for advice to those people aspiring or having challenges with their business, like what would you say is your favorite part? And now you're so grateful, it would be ever hard for you to get a job in the big system again because you've had this part of your life.
it probably is. I mean, I think the greatest part for myself is truly having someone share their victory, right? Like, I can't believe I did, you know, I had that baby, or I finally, you know, and all of those previous, they're literally able to vocalize from limiting beliefs and everything, how those have been so shattered and they've achieved what they wanted. I think that makes it goes, all right, all of this is really worth it, right? I tell all of my patients, and probably maybe even more overjoyed when they achieve their goals, you know, and to know that oftentimes it was actually with less tech, and it was with a bit more presence and a bit more love, and the synergy of the intention of setting that, like, this is what we're doing. So that's the best part. I think for me, that's what keeps me, I guess, somewhat addicted to just figuring this out then, is their success. You know, nothing like you finally have a baby. I know for my own self, nothing like, wow, term, normal birth weight, baby. No one can take away that joy, you know.
Well, and I like to stress to families, because when you choose a non-covered service and you're choosing cash, it's all about presenting the value. So many people think, well, people aren't, I don't want a boutique shop. I don't want to do just the richy rich. That's the classic thing I hear often. And I'm like, you'd be shocked. The families, I'm the most expensive for home births in the area. And I get families that barely can pay it. They get loans from their family. They're dirt poor. It's all the perceived value. And so we have to reshift our own mind as business owners that you're not doing a good job with your marketing campaigns if you're not busy. It's not that there's no value. You're not doing a good job showing it to your potential target market. Let's reshift things. So I appreciate you reinforcing, because I know a lot of your families you serve are a more vulnerable population. It's not cash boutique, high-end ritzy clinic that you serve. So
No. It's, I think, you know, you're absolutely correct. When you choose, I think practices such as yours or my own, what I tell patients, in truth, you're choosing you. That nobody else gets to decide where you're going. You're driving the car, and it's a Ferrari or whatever it is, where you want it to go. And you're absolutely choosing someone who 100% is bought in that's going to happen, right? And so you're willing to go beyond the time constraints and everything else of going, no, what it takes, whatever it takes, that's what we're doing to get the job done. And I have not had one, you know, again, as I told you, what's the greatest juice or joy of it is when someone tells you, wow, one visit with you, I can't believe I understand so much more. Like, it makes sense. And they have zero issue with paying you at all for of going, realizing that moved the needle so much further, rather than years of these short little visits of just putting it together and really holding them together. And, you know, and similarly, I think in business, it's the our own energy too. Are you yourself willing to do that for yourself? You know, I think that's, that to me as well has been the greatest teacher. My willingness to invest in myself to go, no bars held. I want to partner with somebody who has done it. They're the expert. Tell me, and they can hold way more than I could have even thought was all involved in it. And that yes to yourself and how much further you go, so much quicker, you know, with time. And so that's for me what I realized with any family, if you're willing to, you know, budget and save, and that's what they do to get to it. And that's exactly what we help them do too.
I think of that with the consulting business side too, like the midwives are my clients. And when you're talking about changing the needle in one visit, like you just don't know what you don't know, and to leverage to that next level. Like I know 100% you get it, but there's such a barrier of the value of business education and business resources and leveraging these other tools out there that it's amazing to me, an hour and a half with someone and just having a great conversation of their business, and the knowledge, the ripple effect of that one conversation, there's very rare hesitancy of perceived value, because they see, oh my gosh, just you answering that one question or sending me to this person or this connection or this strategy unique to my business, I wouldn't have even thought of it on my own. And so I think that's the whole point too with your fertility clinic, is having that expert taking and leveraging that expertise and what they're looking for. So thank you so much, Louise. What would be a good way, if they have questions about your practice, want to connect with you, what's a good way for them to do that?
Yeah, so our email that's a little bit more personal to me is cosmosintegrated@gmail.com, or what's on the website is info@cosmosintegrated.com. All of that comes directly to me. So to email me, that's always great. Calling us, 253-336-5278. That goes directly, you know, if I don't pick up more often than not, that is transcribed though, and I get to see it in real time and then can respond.
I'll put them all at the bottom of the description too, so it'll be an easy click for them as well.
Exactly. So those are the easiest way to reach out, connect, and start a conversation.
Thank you so much, Louise, for your time. I look forward to, I know you and I were brainstorming lots of great projects we can do for midwives in the future, so I'm sure they'll see you often. So thank you.
Yes, thank you, Leslie. You too. You take care.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.